Be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful we can come before you and just praise your holy name. And thank you for the scriptures that reveal the things to us we'd never know. And thank you for the direction you give us, Lord, and how to participate in your ministry and how to call upon you. And Lord, we just thank you. And we thank you for the greatest gift of all, that you've just called us into salvation, died for our sins, and we praise you for that. Pray a blessing on the message this morning. It'd be an encouragement. You'd really speak to us through it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I want y'all to turn again to 2 John chapter 1, since there's only one chapter, verse 10. Oh, by the way, it seems like a month ago, but it's just last week. I thank Greg for speaking, sharing his heart. I appreciate him doing that. I gave him very short notice. So he did well. Okay, as you're turning to 2 John chapter 10, not that it's a big deal, but see, it's one chapter, and, you know, this is our third message. And it's like, you're looking at 2 John. So if anybody asks you, say, yeah, we've been over 2 John. You wouldn't believe how long we were in 2 John. Anyway, I was thinking about a title for this message, and I couldn't think of one at all. And I don't know, you ever get a thought, you just like it came across, and I get those. But then, you know, I have to discern, was that from God or was that something else? You know, and so any of you, you know, says, you don't necessarily have to speak everything that comes to your mind. I just let you know, because not everything that comes to your mind is from Jesus. But anyway, this came to my mind for the title, and it was, Don't Dance with the Devil. Aren't you, can't wait? just have that picture in your mind. Now, don't dance with the devil. We'll see if we can get around to that. Okay, let's look at 2 John, verse 10. 2 John, verse 10. Don't dance with the devil. It says this, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Now, won't you, if you haven't, you know, that word takes part, you know, if your iPad or paper, just kind of underlined it. Because that word is koinonia, okay? It means partnership. It means to participate. And so it's one of those words that kind of have a wide range of meaning that you come out based on the context of what you're reading. But anyway, that's koinonia, which means like have fellowship. So let's get to church, have fellowship. It's koinonia. Well, that's what's here, offshoot of it. So take part. Takes part. So just remember that word as we go through this. Now, so as we look at this, he said, you know, any of us does not bring this teaching. Now, that this teaching, he's talking about what he said in 2 John. Well, it also means what he said in 1 John. And, you know, so, I mean, he's, you know, there's a completeness of teaching when he's talking about Christ, the deity of Christ, salvation. And he's saying, you know, if somebody comes and they don't bring this message, don't receive them. Don't receive them. Now, he is talking to people in the church, professing in the church. Now, there's, you know, we talk about, oh, you know, don't be a part of the world, and, you know, we can have all sorts of messages on that, and good. But that's not what he's talking about here. Not, you know, he focuses, no, this is what you got going on in the church. You need to be really aware of that, because that's in context of what 1 John was talking about, and that's the context of what 2 John is talking about. He's talking to people in the church about their relationship with one another primarily, all right? So that just helps us have a context here, context by that. And so we know in Scripture, reading through all of the New Testament, that it was an absolute demand, I guess you will, that the brothers in Christ supported, fed, and housed, were housed by the local congregations they visited. You know, these were itinerant preachers come around. And God says, no, when you have these brothers and sisters, you take care of them, you feed them, you house them, and it tells you to do that. And so this is the focus in how the early church and early apostles, how they survived. Because he said, listen, you got to take care of my people as they come and preach and stuff to you. And a lot of times some of these guys, especially in the beginning, didn't have a pastor or so, you know, and so it took a while to grow. So they were to take care of one another, all right? And so in the same thing, 2 John is dealing with those proclaiming to be Christians, yet they're deceivers and they're antichrist. You know, everybody that came to the house and came to the church, hey, you know, I'm brother so-and-so. And he wasn't. You know, and so anybody can say anything about themselves. So they had to be aware. They had to be aware of who was coming and asking for help. You can imagine, you know, some deceiver or antichrist right there. Well, hey, man, here's a quick buck. You know, here's an easy meal or something. They proclaim. They would learn that quickly, and Satan would certainly encourage them. And so these are Christians he's talking about. Claiming Christians, but yet they're deceivers and antichrist. How many of you, you know, I mentioned before, they had this, I haven't seen one in years, but had a phone book, you know, believing all sorts of things, you know, mechanics and stuff like that. You know, and when I take my car to the mechanic, the first thing I want to know, can he fix my car? You know, and I mean, I'm going to tell you, I mean, if the guy's a Buddhist, he can fix my car, bless him. You know, he does a good job. I gave him a tip. You know, won't go to his church, won't ask him to dinner. But that's the first thing I want to know. And if you think, well, that's awful, you know. Well, no, you just let a Christian who knows nothing about cars work on your car. You'll change your attitude. And I shared a story. A good brother that made me change my attitude. He loved Jesus, but he could not fix a car. So anyway, you see what I'm saying? So understand what's talking about in this specific thing. So he's hitting this thing. He is talking about pretenders. And he doesn't have nice things to say about them. Not nice things at all. So these false prophets, antichrist, and deceivers are not to share in the provision of Christian hospitality. That's what it says. Now, it even says, even the Christian greetings that might be given ever so casually are forbidden in the case of these deceivers. You know, say, hey, yeah, I know he's an antichrist, but just say, hey, what's happening, brother? No, don't do that. Say, don't. You don't give him any greeting because he's a deceiver, and you've seen that. You understand that. Now, and what it is here is that one cannot be a partner of God and a partner of the devil. Okay, within the church. You know, can't be a partner of both of those. And in fact, by the way, I didn't even tell Doug back there. Said, I'm going to quote a lot of verses and you don't have them. I'll tell you when there's an overhead. So you're going to be looking for them. He didn't. Yeah, there's nothing here. Anyway, here's one of the verses that I didn't put back for Doug. What it says in 1 Corinthians, you can write this down, what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:20, it says this, I do not want you to be participants with demons. Well, I'm glad he told us that. That was a good one, you know. But you think, why did he have to? Well, because these guys are deceivers. That if you just look on the cover, you know, they can get by. But you go deep, you find, no, they're demons. And he said, I don't want you to be participants with demons. You know what that word participants is? Koinonia. It's koinonia. It's fellowship. It's partner. It's participants. See, so it's like, I don't want you embracing and being a partner, having fellowship with or taking part in those things that demons are taking up. So it's not, you know, you can see, so it's the same word that used in in this verse, which should think, and you just like, we come together, and as we're praying during communion, I will tell you what my prayer was, and I think God will honor it in this one case. You know, you're not supposed to tell everybody what you're praying for. But I just pray. I said, God, thank you for these people. It's a family. They're good people. They're seeking you. God, protect them from the evil one. See? Well, that's what you want when you come into church. And then the mistake is you just assume that everybody that comes in is like that. They're not. They're not. And so we have Christian love, but we also have Christian discernment. You know, somebody will come in, and this has happened a lot. Came in and they'll say, I want to teach Sunday school. First service, you know. I said, well, I'm so glad we need Sunday school teachers. Why don't you stay here and, you know, I give about a couple of months. You know, go to message, see how you like us and getting around, and then you can. Now, to the person, and there may be some exceptions, you know, but is general to the person, those people don't stay. They don't stay. And you go, well, they wanted to teach Sunday school. I think they heard me preach and say, hey, can't put up with that. And they just left. That may have been it. I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. That's the reason you do that. You know, it's like, and here's my credentials, and I went to XYZ school and did to this church. Great. Won't you just give a couple of months and see how you like us? But that's because you don't know who these people are. You want to embrace, give them a chance, you know. And I mean, it's okay if you don't like me, but I'm just going to upset me and let you teach Sunday school. Okay, I mean, some will say that's a prerequisite, but it would help, you know, for me anyway. But you see where I'm getting at. We just need to be aware. But just pray. We have a family here, and God, that's exactly what God wants. That's exactly what he wants, is the family here. And so he said, I do not want you to be participants, or fellowship, partner, with demons. Now, so again, whoever greets a deceiver, now that's text, that takes part. That's the same word. They translate takes part. It's koinonia, participant, partner. The same word. That's the reason I said underline it. So whoever greets a deceiver, they are fellowshipping and partnering in their wicked works. There you go. I just said hi. I mean, I just said hi. How are the kids? He said, no. What God is saying is, no, I don't want you to participate with that type of relationship with a deceiver, an antichrist, and false prophets. Don't do that. Don't, you know. So it's a clear statement right here. Now, this advice may sound really unloving, but it's not. It really isn't. This is necessary to prevent deceivers from spreading teaching that would destroy the heart of the Christian community. By not participating with the deceivers, you're protecting the whole body. You're protecting the whole family. That's the reason you do it. It's not an unloving thing. It really is a loving thing, telling not participating with the deceivers, it's showing love to the entire body. See, somebody feels, well, that's not love. Well, if you love them, and then you put the whole body at risk. You don't love the body, you just love that guy or girl. You see what I'm saying? So this is what God is telling us so that we'll understand these things. And again, the reason he's warning us like that, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so you just have to be aware of that. And again, you're protecting the body. You're not even so much protecting yourself as you're protecting the body. Now, if they're coming to your house, hey, I'm to meet you after church, you know, but well, you're protecting your family, you know. But again, this is a proclaiming Christian. This is proclaiming. I won't go there. That's one of those thoughts and said like that. No. Okay, then we got there. Anyway, so the Christian church has the responsibility to draw lines which exclude teaching and practice it deems out of harmony with the revelation of Scripture. That's what you're looking at. This guy doesn't wear deodorant. He's got B.O. Let's suck it up. Take it, you know, we'll work for the guy. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about bringing in something that's absolutely contrary to Scripture, that's out of step with anything we believe, okay? And it says, this is what you're looking out for. And then in another place also it says, and we must always share the truth in love. That's what it says in Ephesians 4:15. It says, speak the truth in love. You know, hey, just, you know, this is for our body and stuff. It just doesn't fit. But you make a statement. You make a strong statement. So we speak the truth in love, but we also have a godly conviction to stand without wavering for our faith. Amen? There's discernment. Well, I just love everybody. No. I mean, you may love, you know, like in a Christian way and turning people over the Lord, but when they come in here, and again, they're deceivers, they're deceptive, they're antichrist in some way. And so we're standing strong. As we stand strong, we're constantly, now this is, you'll find this, I think, often, we're constantly saying to ourselves, how flexible can the parameters of the Christian belief be without sacrificing the integrity of the faith itself? You with me? I'm going to repeat that again, because this is a real challenge for the church. How flexible can the parameters of the Christian belief be without sacrificing the integrity of the faith itself? You have to ask those questions. Now, I have grown in certain areas of this. You know, it's kind of like, well, I'll put it like this. Well, what would you die for? What would you die for? Well, I hope I'd stand for that. Well, that's what it is. It's like, what would you die for? I'd die for the deity of Christ. I'd die that salvation is a free gift. I die that it's Jesus and Jesus alone. I die for the inspiration of Scriptures. You know, because you take those away, then the deceiver, then he gets in and does damage to the whole body. Now, what I have learned over the years, after going through tremendous growing pains, I will not die over when Jesus is coming back. I'm not going to do it. Now, if they say he's not coming back, okay, well, that's a different story. But I have been in so many arguments and just frustrated to all get out. You pre-trib, post-trib, you know, whatever trib, and no trib, and, you know, and like we're living in the kingdom now with no, you know, tribulation. And it's just like, and I'm just talking about me. I just look, and somebody starts, I go, whatever. I believe Jesus is coming back. Now, I have some opinions, but what you believe is fine. And they can even come to this church, you know. And I could give a message on the end times. They come and say, I don't agree with this. I said, okay, that's fine. Read it and just go with what you got. You see what I'm saying? There's certain things you just got to, like, okay, I'm not going there. Oh, and people have asked me this. They have asked me. So some of you here have asked me, what is your opinion on free will and the sovereignty of God? They said, what do you think? I said, that beats me. I mean, it's just like, good grief. And then, you know, it's like, come on. It says, do you believe in the sovereignty of God? Yes, I do. Absolutely, 100%. Do you believe in the free will of man? I said, absolutely, 100%. Well, how can you believe on both of them? I don't know. It says both of them. I just believe both of them. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Now, if you've come on either side of that, that's fine. You know, and if I preach something, I'll make a point, and they'll say, I don't believe that. What about this verse? Hey, you've got a good point. You know, that's good. Like that. You, but anyway, you kind of get an idea of where I'm coming from. And the reason I bring that up is because it happens, okay? And if you fight, and this is in the church, because the people out of church don't give a flip, all right? They don't care, you know? And you're going to drive them nuts, like, what are you talking about? You know, it's not a good evangelistic point either. Plus, we're fighting, you know? It's like, you know. So, but I think it's good. I have opinions on a lot of those things, but I'm not going to fight for them. I'm not going to. If someone asks my opinion and sincerely want to know, I'll share my opinion, you know. And they all, you know what they do. I share my opinion. So, well, what about this verse? I believe that one too. Okay. But anyway, but you have, now the point of it is this. We're not talking about stuff like that. We're not talking about that. You know, certain people just have certain opinions, and that's fine. That's just fine. And by the way, when you tell a person has a strong opinion like that, and I go, I don't know, I believe that, but I believe this, you know, well, this guy doesn't want it, so they'll go to another church and they'll find something. So it works itself out, but we don't have to fight about it. We don't even have to disagree about it. Amen? You see what I'm saying? So I want you, when we look at this, who we're talking about, who we're talking about, we're talking about Antichrist, and he's Antichrist about things, like the deity of Christ. You cannot overlook. I mean, that puts you in the Antichrist. You don't believe Christ was God. That puts you in the Antichrist category. You can't worship with us if you don't believe Christ was God. You know, and that draws a lot. But you can be very, you know, that's where you, with love, you would share that thought. Does that make sense? Okay. So anyway, we're back to these people we don't let eat with us. Okay. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. They don't believe salvation, a free gift, and on and on and on like that. Now, so we need, so this is where I'm saying you have to learn for yourself at what point can you be flexible. And we've even had talks within the church and the elders and advisors talk about, well, can we be flexible on this? Is this flexibility or is this really undercutting the faith? You know, and so I'm finding like there's more and more stuff you can be flexible about, you know, with believers. But that's not who he is talking about. Understand, that's not who he's talking to. These are bad folks, okay, and they're to undercut the very belief of Scripture. Christ and his power. Now in Scripture tells us to love, yet never waver standing on the Word of God. That's the reason you got to stand on the Word of God. That's the reason you need home groups. That's the reason you need church services, because you come, you build one another up. And, you know, if we went through here, there'd be some things we disagree about within the Christian faith. That's fine. There's certain things you highlight because of your gifting or your person. Well, why didn't he care about that? You know, well, he just doesn't care about that anywhere. You know, this guy is not in the ministry. He does nothing. How can Jesus love him? You know, well, he loves him. He's just not an administrator, you know. Don't give him, you know, a big task sheet to do. He's not going to happen. You see what I'm saying? So the whole process, it's like how God made us. He brings us in the kingdom. We work together as a body of Christ and grow in the body of Christ. Now, so I've, like, beat that to death, right? Now, I'm going to give you some verses. Now, these verses kind of, they apply, but they kind of go on the outside too. But I just want to share them with you because what the Apostle Paul's writing to the churches, they had really big issues with this. In fact, the New Testament letters are specific because they had issues. It's, oh my gosh, I got to write them a letter. And so he writes the book of Romans, 16 chapters. It's like, oh my God. I just can't help. This is definitely not from the Lord. When I was going steady with Linda, and I went to Texas with my uncle, Linda swears that my mother and dad sent me there to get away from her. But anyway, I don't know if that's true or not. But she goes, it's true. Anyway, but she would write me letters. She would write me, I mean, like 2 or 3 a week, right? 2 or 3 weeks. And they were like 10 pages long. I mean, I'd look at them. You know, I said, oh, my God. You know, who's going to read this? And so I got where I have, and I'm looking and says, Dear Wallace, you know, and I turned to Pat and said, I love you, Linda. I said, we're good. So, anyway, just let you know there's things you have to work through over a period of time. So here we are. Now, here are some other things you just need to take into account. So this applies to non-believers, but it definitely applies to deceivers in the church. But I'm just going to read through them right quick. Romans 16:7, because it was a problem in the early church. Romans 16:7, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions. Everywhere they go, they just split. With a good reason. No, it's not the good reason, it's the person. Division follows the person. Okay, I appeal to you, brothers, watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles. They create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. You know, well, we'll talk them. No, and nothing going to help. Avoid them. You see what I'm saying? That gets to a point you have to understand. Now, we're not condemning anyone. All right? We're really not. Deceivers are condemning themselves. Condemning themselves. You ever see a person, wherever they go, there's a problem. There's a problem everywhere. And they'll tell you whatever everybody else has done wrong. That's just welcome in, and it won't be long till you be the problem. It's going to happen. Well, I'm going to show them love. Have at it. It ain't gonna work. You know, I mean, you got to face the fact. And so you just watch them, and then you can't tell these people, go, oh, love them. And then you try to explain, well, you don't love anybody, do you? And that's all right. You just have to watch and kind of hang around and pick up the pieces. But you know what's going on. You see what I'm saying? It says, avoid them. Deceivers are condemning themselves. We only identify the truth of Scripture. But this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. But the truth I see is there's division. Just like there was division over here. See, we're to be there to reconcile. To reconcile. See. So, in Titus it says, Titus 3:10, as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once, seeing this after warning him. They didn't say her. So you can lay these off of this. After a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped, sinful, self-condemned. Who condemned them? He condemned himself. He condemned him. You just recognize, oh my God. Now, no one, now listen, this is, you just have to say certain things like this, but no one can claim to be a Christian and say, I am a thief, a homosexual, a transgender, but Christ just can't change me into his image. God can't change me. The God of the universe who spoke the word, created the heavens, dwells within us. Man, I could create the worlds, but I can't get Wallace to do flip. Man, he ain't nothing about him's changing. There's something wrong with that, right? See? All right. So you just know, hey, I'm just saying you believe that and I believe that, but I'm just who I am. Just who I am, whatever the I am is, you know. I am. See, this proclaiming Christian is a deceiver because we know Christ changed people and we are evidence ourselves of that. I mean, we're not there, but we're better than we were. Better than we were. So this proclaiming Christian is a deceiver, denying the power of Christ. Avoid such people. But again, because you're protecting our people. See, we're worried about it. We're worried about it. And I can be honest with, well, what it says this, avoid such people. 2 Timothy 3:5 says this. These people have an appearance of godliness, Isn't that crazy? These people have an appearance of godliness, but deny its power. Avoid such people. Such people. You know, and I'll say this just to be honest. You know, I fall down all the time, but just show you where my heart is. When I see somebody come in, and it's like I get a feeling like this ain't working. I'm hearing stuff that's not good to hear, you know, and I start paying attention. I get to the point where I think, I got to confront this person. It has nothing to do with me. I don't want to confront this person. I don't want to talk to this person. I don't want to have any kind of confrontation. But I worry about congregation. That motivates me to say and confront, because I worry about the congregation. That's the only reason, all right? Because, yeah, why can't everybody be happy? Just kind of slither through, you know? By the way, doesn't work anyway, so I'll just tell you up front, does not work. All right, now, so here we have, now, again, God is clearly addressing, proclaiming Christians who are deceivers and not unbelieving sinners of the world. You see two different groups of people here. I'm a Christian, but they're living like the world, and they're bringing in their, you know, false doctrine into the church. That's who we're talking about. But there's a bunch of people outside. I mean, they're going at it, you know. That's the world we live in. And he's not talking about them. But here's this. This is just a little editorial in Scripture that gives us understanding so that we have an understanding. This guy's a deceiver, and this guy is a sinner outside the world doing the same thing, but he's outside the church. How do you handle that? How do you reconcile it? God is so good. He said, this is how you reconcile it. This is 1 Corinthians 9 through 11. We don't have an overhead, but it's very clear. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And by the way, the book of Corinthians is a book of correction. He's correcting. See, they were so needing correction, he had to write a whole letter to them like that. Oh, gosh, I got another letter from Linda, and he said, I love you, and she loves me. Okay, we're good, you know, but you need to read the letter. You really do. I'm going to get it. We need it. Here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 11. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all, meaning the sexually immoral of this world. Are the greedy and swindlers or idolaters? Since then, you would need to go out of the world. See, he just told these people, don't you associate with it. Don't you associate with it. Don't you. He goes, now listen, while I'm telling you this, I'm not talking about the world. Because if I was talking about the world, you need to go out of the world. How many of us told God, just take me home? This is crazy. He said, no, that's not in the script. Okay. But now I'm writing you not to associate anyone who bears the name of a brother. If he is guilty of sexual immorality, greed, or is an idolater, reveler, drunkler, swindler, not even to eat with such a one. You got something in the church, Antichrist, hey, listen, brother, can't have dinner, you know. You meet this guy in the bar, and like he sat there, and he's drunk. He said, gosh, I'll come over to the house. We'll feed you. Wait a minute. How can you do that? Because there's a difference. One's a deceiver. One's just a sinner and needs Jesus. Y'all with me? So the Bible's making it clear and helps us to process through the world. So the thing is like, oh, my God, there's a sinner. Well, you can't even get home. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't get. You can't do nothing. Except stay home and talk to your spouse. Then you're going to need huge marriage counseling. You'll at least have to talk to me after that. You're going to say, is that enough of this nonsense? All right. But y'all see what I'm saying. And this is what this is telling us about so that we can understand how the Lord works. As we can, the deceiver is the one he's worried about. Okay, so God clearly states that in order not to associate with sinners, say, don't associate. How many of you tell your kids, don't associate with sinners? And if their little minds will go, what do you want me to do? Go out of the world? Oh, my God, there's Scripture. But you see what I'm saying. It's not the sinners. We're in the world of sinners. And he's leaving us here. However, proclaiming Christians that are deceivers, we must avoid. I mean, really avoid. Thus, we know that when we dance with the devil, we support their wicked works. I got back to the title. When you dance with the devil, you participate, you support his wicked works. All right. Have I beat that enough? That we got the picture of that. How we're to function, and God has given us direction as those who trust in Christ. Now what I want to do in a few minutes here, I'm going to look on the other side of the coin. I'm going to flip this coin over, all right? Just as, okay, I'm going to pause. Y'all, I am flipping the coin over because we're here, I'm going to jump way over here, all right? Just as our fellowship and support with the deceiver makes us a partner in his wicked works, also our fellowship and support with true Christian workers makes us a partner in their righteous works. See, all the things, hey, you don't participate. When I flip, you participate, you have fellowship, you take part, then you're taking part in their works. He's just warned them. Their works. You have them over for dinner? That's a blessing. You know, you're helping them through in their ministry. God said, that's a blessing. You receive the same blessing as that person receives. You see? Now, and so what we have here is that, and it also means it's like by being hospitable and helping those that are during the ministry of Christ, being involved, participating, taking part of those who are doing the ministry of Christ, we shall inherit their same eternal rewards. I help a missionary. Check, you know. Gone, I hope God blesses them. No, that missionary is fruitful and serves the Lord and receives eternal rewards for his ministry. We receive the same reward because we helped him. I mean, it fits here. You give a ministry, you give a meal to that Antichrist. You help him in his wicked works, and it comes back on us. He said, don't avoid them. Well, the flip's right. No, you help that Christian worker. You work with that Christian worker, and they reap rewards, eternal rewards. We receive the same eternal rewards. Amen. You see, it's God's law. See, this is God's law. That's how God's law works. So it's a fascinating thing when we look at it. Now I'm going to look at, have an overhead for this one, Doug. Doug went to sleep back there. He says he's never going to call on me. No. Okay, Doug, look at Philippians 4:15. We have an overhead. Here's an example of this and how Paul acknowledges it in his ministry and working with these churches. Philippians 4:15. Paul says, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into the what? Partnership. Take part. Participant. Same word. All that same word. See, that we started with. No church entered into the partnership with me in giving and receiving except you. Who's receiving? No one except you. You're the only church that entered into the participation with me in giving and receiving. Who's receiving? Paul and the church. Y'all with me? It's a partnership. It's like taking the fellowship, you know, communion words or interaction with Christ. You know, it's where part of his ministry. And so the Apostle Paul goes out and he says, you are the only church. You're the only church that is a partnership. Same word, koinonia, fellowship, participants, take part. Same word, same word. you are, no other church entered into the fellowship with me. No other church entered in the fellowship with me in giving, receiving. Oh, he gave and Paul received. But the church, you entered it into me, so you receive. Y'all, I mean, this is huge. Oh, good gosh. Those poor people in Haiti, I mean, you go at the... Drew just told me, they had set up the solar panels and up at that school in Haiti. Somebody stole the solar panels off the orphanage. You know, it's like, see, you can't give it to the people. They have nothing. They're going, you give it to them, somebody's going to see that there's no structure there. God, it's just a waste of money. And God bless Drew and Fran and go, you know, there. But, well, no. Drew and Fran will go. Well, God bless them for that work. Yeah. But when we give to that that allows them to go, then it comes back on us. We get what they get. We get what they get. I had a lot of people in Dove International that have to fly overseas and stuff. So they come to the airport, and I told them before, I'm just 15 minutes from the airport. So a lot of them fly in and out of Dulles. We've had people stay all night, or I'll pick them up. They leave their car here, and I'll take them there. And so I took this one guy there. He was on their biggest apostolic committee or whatever it was. So he said, here, let me give you, do it. I said, no, I'm not giving. He just, no, I'm not. Don't take a breath. I said, listen, don't you steal my blessing. That's what I thought. Don't you steal my blessing. He goes, oh, that's right, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. And you're stealing my blessing. I don't want a nickel for this. But you see how the process, thank you, and you give the $10 to this Antichrist, you know, you're helping his curse and you're going to receive part of his curse. See, it's God's law. We understand things, stuff we didn't understand before. All right, we get in this. So, they aided and were in participation with Christian ministry. Amen? Aided and in participation with Christian ministry. By being in partnership with the ministry, they will receive the same eternal rewards as those actually carrying out the ministry. I could never be a missionary. I could never be a pastor. Well, it's probably God hadn't called you to be a missionary. He probably hadn't called you to be a pastor. You ever see somebody who's going to start in a ministry? They're going to start this big ministry. He says, I'm going to go to Wallace and help me. And he can't help. He has trouble keeping food on the table. You know, I don't think I'll go. Well, I'll go to this other. No, you know who they go to? And I know people. And I know this one believer. He's real. I mean, he is brilliant. And he made a huge company, made lots of money, just like that. Who did they tell their minister to? That guy. And then he makes a determination from his heart what the Lord is doing. And God's given him all these abilities in the world, abilities to do things that other people can't do. And then he becomes a source to help people do which he never could do, and he receives the same benefit. He's a CEO running, making big money, and this guy's out beating the bush and whatever, preaching the gospel. He helps him, and he gets the same eternal reward as that guy does. See, this is how it works. This is how the whole thing works. And so it's for us to understand God's economy. Bill Wright, you heard me talk about Bill Wright. He's a lawyer who went to China, opened the law practice in China. To me, when I say that, just amazes me. Someone that opens a law practice here in the United States, I thought, wow, that amazes me. But someone who learns Chinese and goes to China and opens a law practice, I think, that's nuts. That's the craziest thing you ever heard of. He does. I had Tom Johnson, as I told this thing, Tom Johnson, he looked it up on Google. He said, it's in Beijing. He says it had all these companies and had this Chinese company, and it says that the founder was Bill Wright. You know, everybody, Jing Zhong, Jing Banda, Bill Wright. It's like, yeah. So he's got it. Now, I wasn't making fun of Chinese people. I just can't understand them. But Bill Wright stood out in that. I mean, Tom didn't have to even look. You know, hey, there's only one Bill Wright in China. They're like that. You see what I'm saying? But he would say, he goes, you need to see what God's telling you, and based on the gifts you have, then you carry it out with those gifts, and God will bless those gifts. Ian Thomas, here's another fellow, he talked about, and he is kind of a traveling evangelist, and he came and he talked, just, he's gone with the Lord. And Pastor Minner says, have you ever considered being a pastor? He says, no, God never put that curse on me. I mean, but what I'm saying, if you got a gift, do it. You know? Do it. And then God's going to bless it, but what he's gifted for you to do, you know, and you're going to love what God, you know, put you in, because he'll gift you to do that and succeed at it and grow in that particular thing, you know. And Bill Wright says, you know, you get a pastor church, it's really limiting. I mean, but can you see his mind? I mean, he's valedictorian, you know, UVA, Harvard Law School, Rhodes Scholar. That's a pastor's limiting. I'm going to start a law firm in China, and I want to preach to the Chinese. I'm just going to stick with pastor. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's like, oh, Adam was sick. We went on a mission trip, Adam, and I look at this is where I get all along. But we went to Italy on the mission trip, and we handed out flyers. It was really a lot of fun. And they would go out, and then I mentioned they would sing things. And they told me, this is what they told me. Says, we're going to go sing, and we're going to ministry. He said, why don't you stay in the room and pray? I mean, they tried to make that holy. And they tried to make a really holy. But what they really were worried about, I can't sing. I just can't sing. And I was like screwing up the whole group. Screwing up the whole group. You see what I'm saying? Well, so benefit God and the people around me, you know. I just noticed when I got off. And every time I finished talking and, you know, come at and before the songs, they always cut off my mic like that, you know. You know, and it, you know, it just keeps it, you don't hear anything. They don't want to hear me sing. Say, I screw up the whole congregation. He said, we don't want him on the mic. You know, I said, one person said, everybody's supposed to make a joyous noise, but not everybody gets a mic. Anyway, so I don't know how I got off on that. Anyway, here we are. But the whole thing it is that we understand that we receive the same eternal rewards of those Christian missionaries or Christian, and I just use missionaries for that. It's what God's called you to. And that's another thing. You shouldn't let anybody talk you into anything. What's God called you to? Will you give? Will you get that same reward? That same eternal reward. Now here, I'm going to share this, and I kind of condensed this, and I do have an overhead for this one, too. It's Philippians 4:17. And I just condensed it just to drive home the point. It's a great verse. Philippians 4:17 through 19. But I want you to listen. Now, this is what Paul is talking about. And the same thing in Philippians here in chapter 4. He goes, where I have, you're the only church that's been participating with me in giving and receiving. Because as you gave to me and I received, you will receive the same things I did. So that's where he's coming. He's continuing to that thought. This is an unbelievable scripture if we embrace it and living our life and seeing, tapping into God's work and his power. Look at what he says. After saying that, you're the only church that participated in me, giving and receiving. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift. Now here, apostle, pastor, it's not that I seek a gift. Not that I seek the gift. But I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He gets a gift. He goes, oh my God. God's going to bless the socks off those people. Oh my goodness. See his attitude? Oh yeah. oh, I just can't hardly wait to see what God's going to do with these people. See, he's sowing the Spirit. He's sowing the Spirit. Oh, I don't know why I'm starving to death. They don't give me some money. The ministry's going to end. You just beat people over the head, give me money, like that. That's nowhere in Scripture, ever. Ever. If you're having that many problems, you ought to come home. You know? Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. The eternal worlds are going to increase. Oh, my God, we're going to have all eternity. Rejoice in this because of what you have given. Verse 18, having received the gifts you sent, acceptable and pleasing to God. That's what they did. Having received, and he goes, oh, my goodness, well, I wasn't seeking that, but oh, your credit. But I received gifts you sent that were acceptable and pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. Now verse 19 is totally taken out of context by everybody all the time. Now verse 19 flows in. You've given to me. I can't imagine. I didn't really need it. I could do without. But you receive all the credit that is going to you. God's going to give you credit. There's prosperity coming to you. Verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. You heard you can't outgive God. That's truth. Now we won't pay it until you give to. What you give to. He hadn't called us all to the same thing. All right? Here's a great ministry. It may not be my ministry. You know, I don't know. You know, you have to go before the Lord. You have to go before the Lord and see what he is telling you. This is a great giving. This is a great verse for giving. And I'll apply it. You know, and I appreciate, by the way, y'all just amaze me all the time. Drew and Fran get up here and say, you amaze me. Katie and Adam get say, you amaze me. You know, about what you give, and stuff. I mean, it really is amazing. But it's like you drop the money in the offering box. That's just a flow. A ministry, a credit to you. It's just a flow. A flow. Ray Messina told me the other day, he said that years back when the Lord taught him this, he said, I want you, anytime you talk about it, just talk to me. He said, it turned my life around. It absolutely, everything. You know, it's like I kept giving more money, and I kept getting more money, and it didn't make sense. It didn't make financial sense to me. So what I'm saying, now this is an individual effort. I mean, this is a good browbeat verse. Hey, if you want to get blessed, you better give to me. You know, there's something wrong with that. But if you feel moved by a certain ministry and you want to be a part of it, that is, you participate, you'll get blessed by it. See, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And it really, you know, when you try to browbeat somebody with this, it just takes away the whole thing. But you see what Paul did. Paul was like, you know, man, you know, you're going, if we don't have this giving, what's this going to happen? Oh, I don't know. He never did that. It's like, look at this. Oh, my gosh. God is going to bless it. I can't wait to see what God does to them. See, he saw it for the reality of God's blessing on them. See? And that's the way we should function, Isabel. That's the way the church should function. So, Paul communicates a powerful message to the person who supports Christian ministry. The Bible clearly states to the believer that gives, my God will supply your every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So you see how both these things are working, but you cause a little discernment on the believer's part. You got to, you know, you got to understand, have discernment so that you don't be tricked by the devil. So we ended up saying, don't dance with the devil. Okay, but go to every party with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we stand our ground. We close on this. And the reason I want to close with this verse and I have before, it's just the simplicity of it. We keep it simple. Keep it simple, and then you go from there. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can't mess with that message. You can't. You don't have any message if you mess with that message. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for 2 John, Lord. It's amazing, you know, when you look at it. And so I give all thanks to you. And Lord, I pray a blessing on each person. And Lord, I do pray a supernatural blessing on each person who is just so sacrificially given, who was sacrificially given to their families, and God, that have a heart for you. And I just pray that you bless them more than they could ever imagine. Reveal your word to them more than you've ever revealed it before. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.